Jack Phillips was only a few years out of college, out of school rather, when he started an exciting new job. In March of 1912, Jack secured a position as a chief wireless telegraphist. He would manage communications on a newly constructed, one-of-a-kind, unsinkable vessel, the Titanic. So the Titanic set out, and soon Jack was swamped with radio telegraphs. Jack and his team manned the transmitter. Jack listened and responded to a ton of telegraphs, except the two that mattered most. On April 14th at 9:40 p.m., another ship, the Maseba, radioed a warning about heavy pack ice and a great number of large icebergs. But Jack was so busy responding to other messages, he never passed the warning to the Titanic's bridge. Then, at 10:55 p.m., a second ship, the Californian, radioed saying, "Say, old man, we are stopped and surrounded by ice." And how did Jack Phillips react? He replied, quote, shut up, I am busy." Less than an hour later, the Titanic violently scraped an iceberg and began to flood. In just a few hours, the unsinkable Titanic sank beneath the freezing water, and Jack Phillips and a huge majority of the people on board died. Jack started his new job on the Titanic the day before his 25th birthday. He never made it to his 26th. Jack's problem was not that he did not hear the warnings. No, his problem was that those warnings got crowded out by everything else he was listening to and working on. Jack was not a slacker. He worked hard. He tried to be as productive as possible. But Jack's misplaced efforts did not lead to a fruitful life and career. They ensured that he, that the ship, and that over 1,000 people would never work again. Jack's story shows that how you listen and what you listen to has consequences. In tonight's text, Jesus targets this issue head on. We'll see Jesus argue that your listening and your fruitfulness are inextricably linked. And Jesus is more worth listening to than anything or anyone else. So, please follow along with me as I read. The text is printed on the sheet. Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are those along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Please join me in praying for our time together tonight. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would work powerfully in our midst. Lord, I am weak, I am needy, there is nothing impressive in me or in any of us, but Lord, you do mighty works, even through weak people, through your word. And so we ask that as we look at your word tonight, you would again do something great. God, would you guard us from distraction? Would you guard us from tiredness? And would you help us to lean in, to hear, to take in all that you would have for us? Please help me to speak faithfully and in your name. Amen. So, as we read this passage, you probably noticed that it looks a little bit like a sandwich. Here's what I mean. In the first 9 verses, Jesus shares a story called a parable with a crowd of people. In the last 8 verses, Jesus explains that same parable to his closest followers. Then, in between those pieces of parable bread is a 3-verse chunk where Jesus explains why he teaches in parables. Those 3 sections are the 3 points of this talk. First, we'll look at the parable, the sower and soils. Second, well, in that first point, we'll see an example of how Jesus taught. Second, we'll talk about the purpose of parables. This section shows why Jesus taught that way. Third, we'll look at the point of this parable. And by examining Jesus' explanation, we'll see what Jesus' teaching accomplished for the world and for you. So let's start by looking at the parable, the sower and the soils. In verse 1, we see a very large crowd gathers as Jesus teaches. And how did Jesus teach? Verse 2, he was teaching them many things in parables. Jesus taught with parables. To this crowd, he taught only with parables. So, what is a parable? A parable is a short story or example with a spiritual lesson. Jesus used parables to describe the kingdom of God and how to live in it. And starting in verse 3, Jesus shares a parable about a sower. This ancient Middle Eastern farmer scatters seed to plant his crops. And as those seeds fall, they land on 4 different types of soil. And the seeds in those 4 soils meet 4 different fates. But Mark makes sure to record a pair of very important comments. Jesus gives the crowd instructions before and after sharing his parable. Did you see them? Look at verse 3. Underline the words, listen and behold. Now look at verse 9. Underline the phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Question, why does Jesus tell a crowd of people who are already listening to him to listen? Jesus, there are already so many people listening to you that you had to get in a boat to speak to them all. Why are you telling them to use their ears and hear? Because Jesus knows that you can watch someone talk without really listening. Instructions can enter your ears without you hearing them. This happens to me all the time. For example, I will be driving somewhere that I haven't been before, and so I will have my GPS on. And the directions are on the screen, perhaps even being spoken to me. But I get so absorbed in a provocative podcast or a compelling conversation, and I miss the turn. And my wife is there sitting next to me, and she's saying, Kevin, what are you doing? The turn was back there. Where are you going? And I'm frantically trying to turn around as fast as I can without causing a car accident. How does that happen? The turn is shown, described, even declared, and I still miss it. Because the words went in my eyes and ears without me really hearing them. Jesus does not want that to happen to the crowds. And Jesus does not want that to happen to you. So our key point for this section is Jesus wants you to listen to him. That's the fill-in. Jesus wants you to listen to him. Jesus is sharing important spiritual truth with the crowds. And tonight, as we look at these words, Jesus is sharing important spiritual truth with you. So, right here, right now, what's going through your head? Are your thoughts on this passage? Are you paying attention to what Jesus is saying? Or are you distracted? Are words going into your ears without you hearing them? Jesus wants you to listen to him. So, the parable of the sower and soils, it shows us how Jesus taught with parables. But why did Jesus teach this way? The next section records Jesus' explanation to his disciples and to us. Here, Jesus shares the purpose of parables. That's point two on your handout, the purpose of parables. So in verse 10, Mark makes a special note that this conversation happened when Jesus was alone with his disciples. The crowds are gone. It's just Jesus and his committed followers. And they're curious. Verse 10 says, they asked him about the parables. And what does Jesus say to these curious individuals? Read with me, starting in verse 11. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Circle the word but in verse 11. Jesus is making a very important contrast. Those outside get only parables, but those inside are given the secret of the kingdom of God. If you look at verse 34, it's printed there at the bottom of the handout, verses 33 and 34. It says, he did not speak to them, as the crowds, without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. It's making the same point. The crowds get parables, but only the disciples get explanations. Jesus explains why by pointing to an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah. Around 700 years before Jesus, God gave a guy named Isaiah a mission to speak to Israel, a people who would refuse to listen to him. And in verse 12, Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, the passage where God gives Isaiah that mission. You see, at that time, God's people liked to look godly without actually being godly. The leaders of Israel and many of the people kept the rituals and traditions of worshiping God, but at the same time oppressed the poor and trusted in other gods. The people praised the Lord with their lips, but they praised money, sex, and power with their life. Despite centuries of warnings, they disobeyed and disregarded God. And so God sent Isaiah with a last warning that would do one of two things. One, stir them to repentance, or two, confirm them in rebellion. To turn back to God to repent, or to keep going and experience judgment in exile. God gave Isaiah a message that would be hard for the hard-hearted to hear. Jesus is saying the same thing is happening here. This is why Jesus spoke to the crowds only in parables. This shows us Jesus only gives the secret of the kingdom to those who listen to him. Those are your fill-ins for point number two. Jesus only gives the secret of the kingdom to those who listen to him. You see, parables allow Jesus to veil the secret to those outside. Parables allow Jesus to reveal the secret to those within inside. And parables allow Jesus to invite outsiders to become insiders. Those are the fill-ins for your sub-points. We'll talk about those one at a time. So first, Parables allowed Jesus to veil the secret to those outside. Jesus has the secret of the kingdom of God. He is ready to share it, but he shares it in a way that is hard for the hard-hearted to hear. A way imperceptible to the impenitent, undetectable to the unteachable. The parables filtered the mildly curious from the truly spiritually hungry. Those who want to listen for a day from those who are willing to listen for decades. If you kept Jesus at arm's length, if you stayed on the outside, then the parables kept the secret hidden. Today, people hide valuable content behind a paywall. That is not what Jesus is doing here. He's not waiting for people to subscribe or partner on Patreon. No, he is guarding the secret of the kingdom of heaven from people who would misunderstand and misuse it. From people who would obstruct his ministry and prevent him from healing and helping and rescuing others. Many keep a secret to profit. Jesus keeps the secret to protect. So Jesus used the parables to veil the secret to those outside. Second, parables allowed Jesus to reveal the secret to those with him inside. Being with Jesus made all the difference. If you came close to Jesus, if you trusted him, accepted his leadership, and became one of his followers, then you would get the secret. You didn't earn it. You didn't discover it yourself. No, Jesus shared the secret as a gift. Notice that verse 11 says, "To you has been given." Jesus shared this gift with his disciples, with those who made their first priority learning from him. And what is the secret of the kingdom? Jesus. The secret that Jesus shares with his disciples is himself. That in a poor, backwater, unimpressive-looking traveling teacher, the kingdom of God had arrived with power and authority. Jesus' arrival was spiritual D-Day. The might of heaven stormed the beaches of earth, and all of the darkness and brokenness was forced to start falling back. The real Jesus is the secret of the kingdom of God. The real Jesus is God's Son, who John the Baptist prepared the way for. The real Jesus is the King coming to reclaim the kingdom. The real Jesus is the doctor ready to heal the spiritually sick. The secret is not a path to please God. It's the person who does it for you. Jesus quotes Isaiah's word saying, "Forgiveness is available. All who turn to Jesus will be forgiven, not based on their works, but based on his." This is what Jesus slowly revealed to his disciples. So parables allow Jesus to veil the secret to those outside and reveal the secret to insiders. But that's not all. Parables allow Jesus to invite outsiders to become insiders. Almost every community has insiders and outsiders. And it's really, really hard to go from outsider to insider. I remember years ago, I tried out for It's a Wonderful Life, the production at my school. I wanted to get a leading role. I wanted to be George Bailey or Clarence the Angel or maybe greedy Mr. Potter, to be part of the central cast, to be in that inner circle where the excitement was, the action was, the secrets were. So I prepared, I read, I practiced, I poured it all into my audition. You know what part I got? Gentleman number two, a.k.a. outsider. Whether it's the varsity team, the band, the fraternity, or honor society, it is hard to go from being an outsider to an insider. Often you must prove yourself with tons of work, with skillful networking, or maybe challenging someone else, pitting your skills against theirs. But Jesus' community is different. Jesus does not make people fight their way in. He invites them in. This is why Jesus invites the crowd to truly listen to his parable. This is why Jesus allows more people close than just the 12. Did you notice who Jesus explained this parable to? Verse 10. those around him with the 12 asked him? You see, Jesus chose his 12 disciples. That was an extremely exclusive group. And yet, he allows more people to come close. Jesus' parables allowed him to provoke thought and spiritual curiosity, to use people's questions to draw them in and welcome them. Those around Jesus were not an elite who earned their spots. They were people who merely responded to unearned invitations. Have you ever felt rejected? Overlooked because someone thought you didn't have enough to offer? With Jesus, there's no auditions and no tryouts. There's no GPA, community service, or standardized test score requirements. There's no algorithm rating your attractiveness. Only one thing is necessary. Listen to him. Jesus only gives the secret of the kingdom to those who listen to him. This is why Jesus wants your attention, wants you to listen to him, so you will realize that he is the secret of God's kingdom, and then believe and receive forgiveness from him. So you will be an insider in the only way that truly matters for all eternity. So, in the parable of the sower and the soils, we saw how Jesus taught with parables. And in the purpose of parables, we saw why Jesus taught that way. To guard the secret of the kingdom for those who truly listen. But what did Jesus' teaching accomplish? To find out, we need to look at how Jesus unpacks the point of this parable. So that's our third point this evening, the point of this parable. Jesus begins this section in verse 13 by asking his disciples two important questions. Read them with me. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? These questions reveal that this is not just another parable. This is the paradigmatic parable, a meta parable, key to understanding all parables, and it's all about the word. The term word comes up 8 times in this section, in almost every single verse. Jesus explains that the sower and all 4 of the soils can be understood in relation to the word of God. The sower shares the word of God generously and widely with all sorts of people. The implication is that Jesus is this sower of the word. The 4 places or soils where seeds land represent 4 kinds of reactions to the word. The ones along the path hear the word, but Satan immediately takes it away. The ones on the rocky ground hear the word and receive it with joy at first. But later, they fall away when hardship or persecution comes. The ones sown among thorns hear the word, but the cares of the world and their own desires choke the word, preventing fruitfulness. Finally, the ones sown on the good soil hear the word and accept it and bear fruit to an incredible degree, as much as 100 times over. Notice all 4 of these groups hear the word. Right? Do you see that? But 3 hear in a way that leads nowhere. 1 group hears in a way that leads to overwhelming fruitfulness. For most, hearing is impaired by Satan or suffering or stuff. But for some, hearing produces life-changing, beneficial results. The key point here is Jesus says your fruitfulness depends on how you listen to him. Those are the fill-ins, the key point. Jesus says your fruitfulness depends on how you listen to him. There is a casual, quick, and superficial way you can listen to Jesus. Then there is an attentive, ongoing, and continuing way to hear. And your long-term productivity hinges on which one you practice. Why? 3 reasons. Jesus' words are unstoppably fruitful. Your efforts are uncomfortably unfruitful. And Jesus can make you unimaginably fruitful. If you really grasp these three reasons, they will change the trajectory of your life for the better. So first, Jesus' words are unstoppably fruitful. When Jesus speaks, things happen. As Jesus explains the parable, he does not say that there might be some who hear who might bear fruit. No, some will hear and accept the word and will bear fruit. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah also wrote about God's ways and words. He records God's description of his own words in Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. He writes, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Jesus is saying, his words are God's words. And as they spread, they sprout. They accomplish. They succeed. They do not return empty. So much of what you say and what I say ultimately accomplishes nothing. So much of what professors and politicians, influencers and entrepreneurs say produce nothing. Jesus claims that his words make things happen. And when we examine history, we see they did. As people heard Jesus' words and believed in him, they changed from the inside out. They transformed from selfish to selfless. The forgiveness Jesus gave them made them fruitful, and society began to change. Even non-Christian historians note how Jesus and his movement altered Western civilization. Jesus' followers dedicated themselves to providing for widows and the poor. They founded orphanages and hospitals. They fed and educated those the world treated like trash. They fought for human rights before it was cool. And Jesus still isn't done. He keeps spreading his word around the world, and it keeps bearing fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. This is why Jesus is ultimate productivity. Jesus' words are unstoppably fruitful. In contrast, your efforts are uncomfortably unfruitful. There is so much arrayed against your productiveness. First, this passage shows us there is an unseen spiritual realm. And it is not neutral. There is an enemy who is working against mankind's flourishing. He does all he can to remove the word from people's minds. Why? Because Satan also knows your fruitfulness depends on how you listen to Jesus. And he wants you to waste your life on earth and then waste away in hell. Second, there's the unavoidable reality of tribulation and suffering. Verses 16 through 17 show how easily suffering causes some to stop listening to Jesus. But even if you avoid persecution by following away from Jesus, suffering will still reach you eventually. You can hit the gym, eat healthy, get your eight every day, but as the years go by, our bodies break. Our minds slow. Our loved ones leave. The time we thought we had slips away. Suffering decimates our dreams, and it is inevitable. Cancer crushes careers. Alzheimer's arrests ambitions. Heart attacks halt hobbies, and pain pulverizes projects. It is tragically easy for the brokenness and suffering of this world to keep your hard work from amounting to anything. And as if all of that isn't bad enough, then there is the reality of how our own desires lead us astray. How do most people decide how to spend their time? How do most people decide what major to choose? Usually, by picking the option that will give them the best chance at getting riches or their desires, or better yet, both. But Jesus says that riches can deceive and desires can choke. Riches catfish you. They put on an incredibly attractive front. They make promises that they will satisfy and protect you. They assure you that they are worth your time and energy. But when you finally get them, you discover the deceit. This is why many celebrities get the riches all long for, only to tear their lives apart. It's the pain of confronting the lie. Riches cannot truly satisfy, and wealth cannot truly protect. And desires for other things choke the word. It's possible for your hobbies to have a hold on you. It's possible for your interests to imprison you. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to lose track of time and waste hours and hours and hours on Netflix, on YouTube, on Instagram? Have you ever noticed how clubs that you join for fun or as a hobby at the beginning of the semester can leave you feeling trapped and stressed out of your mind by the end of it? It's because our desires can get control over us. And when that happens, they choke out the word. You no longer feel like you have time to go to church or Bible study or cultivate spiritual disciplines. And usually, you spend a whole lot of time doing things that may be fun or fruitful in the short run, but they are completely unproductive in the long run. Think of Jack Phillips on the Titanic. He's working. He's handling hundreds of messages. He is trying to prove himself. Perhaps he's wondering if this can lead to an even greater career opportunity in the future. But all of that busyness led to his death. Satan, suffering, and the stuff you desire, they all get away in the way and obstruct you. They prevent you from accomplishing what you want to do and what God wants you to do. So your efforts are uncomfortably unfruitful. Thankfully, Jesus can make you unimaginably fruitful. Jesus is not just another teacher who gives productivity advice. Jesus is the pinnacle of productivity, the apex of achievement. So Jesus can make you productive. If you listen to Jesus so that you hear and accept his word, your life will change. You will believe in the real Jesus, not the world's misconceptions. You will accept his forgiveness and move out into the world with nothing to prove and everything to give. Jesus will include you in his work of continuing to spread his word, and you will get to have a part in God's word going out and changing more lives, the greatest adventure you can imagine. You will see that God's word does not return void firsthand as you live as a disciple of Jesus who helps to make more disciples of Jesus. And as a result, you will bear fruit 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. This is why Jesus says your fruitfulness depends on how you listen to him. Another way we could say this is Jesus speaks as ultimate productivity, so listening is your priority. I remember years and years ago, my wife and I met a student I'll call Carly. She quickly became a friend. We met her at a sign-up table, and she joined us at Bible study. And she shared with us that she did not come from any sort of background where they went to church, where they talked about God. This was the very first time she was hearing from Jesus, having the opportunity to listen to him. And in that Bible study, she heard Jesus share the secret of the kingdom of God. That if she turned to him, if she believed in him, she could receive forgiveness. And so, Carly went home from that break, went home over break, a changed woman. But when she unpacked and pulled out her Bible, her mom went ballistic. Carly would try to find a quiet place, to study to God's word, to listen to Jesus. And her mom would follow her around the house, yelling at her, manipulating her, and doing anything she could to discourage her, to get her to stop listening. But Carly lived in bold expectation that her listening would produce fruit. And so she continued reading her Bible. She continued coming and finding every chance she could to come close to Jesus. She pressed in, not content to stay an outsider, but wanting to be an insider with Jesus. And so she kept going and eventually started asking her parents to join her. After many invitations, her parents began going to church. Her dad now identifies as a Christian. She listened to Jesus and she bore fruit. The original readers of Mark's gospel, they recognized that this is how it worked, that their fruitfulness was dependent, contingent on how they listened to Jesus. And so while some responded to these words like the path or the rocky soil or even the thorny soil, many showed themselves to be the good soil. They heard Jesus' words and accepted them. They didn't let Satan or suffering or their desire for stuff prevent them from following Jesus. They continued listening to Jesus and telling others about him even when they were fined, imprisoned, tortured, and killed. And so the word of God that was shared with them bore fruit. The Jesus movement kept multiplying and bearing fruit 100 times over, again and again and again, to the point that within a few centuries, the whole society, the entire Roman Empire, was majority Christian. Not by imperial decree, but by loving persuasion. Jesus' words bore fruit. If you're with us tonight and you are not a Christian, thanks so much for coming. We're glad that you are here. My invitation to you, my suggested application, is listen to Jesus. Come to Jesus in belief and he will make you fruitful. Realize that there is an unseen spiritual realm with enemies eager for you to ignore Jesus. And realize that there is not lasting fruitfulness apart from Jesus. So I invite you, don't stay an outsider. Come, listen, believe in Jesus. And if you are here tonight and you identify as a Christian, your application is also listen to Jesus. But I'll give you 4 specific ways that you can do that. First, listen to Jesus by seeing that Jesus will be fruitful with you or without you. But he doesn't want you to miss out. He wants to include you in the adventure of a lifetime. So join him. Second, listen to Jesus by expecting suffering. Don't let yourself be surprised, but also don't let it keep you from listening. Consider reading books or memorizing Bible verses to help yourself now so you are ready when suffering comes and you will be able to keep listening then. Third, doubt your desires. Realize that your own desires can be dangerous and deceitful. Beware earthly FOMO when you should be having a worry about heavenly FOMO. Perhaps sometimes this week, ask a friend, do you see any areas where my desires might be deceiving me? And see what they say. And fourth, don't stop. Don't stop listening. That's the big temptation, to eventually, with all of the pressures of life and as you get tired, to stop listening. To stop taking the time to hear and apply God's word. But that is the one thing you must not do. Keep going. Keep hearing. We invite you, come back to prime time. Go to church. Put yourself in situations where you will hear Jesus. As we wrap up here, I want you to imagine reaching the end of your life. And realizing that as you listened, God changed you and used you to bring 30 people to put their faith in Jesus. Or imagine finding that God used you to bring 60 to Jesus. Or 100 to Jesus. On that day, would not every sacrifice feel worth it? Jesus speaks as ultimate productivity, so listening is your priority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for coming as the secret of the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that you would be at work, that you would guard us, that you would protect us, that you would keep us from the distractions, the many things that could prevent us from truly hearing. But God, I pray that this room would be amazingly characterized by an abundance of good soil, and that over the days, weeks, and months to come, there would be incredible fruit that each person here would see in their own lives and in the people around them as they keep listening to Jesus. Lord, would you please bless each person here? Would you protect them and guard them? And be with us the rest of tonight. In your name, amen.